realize that John 17 is often taken out of. I'll just have it before me, brethren. The exercise. That would be the mind of God.
Chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I am them.
For me, I was just thinking of these verses. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. How wonderful that we can say that we know God. God hath revealed himself in Son. And then in verse 4, I have glorified thee unto the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And to realize that God hath been glorified, that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, so we can marvel and rejoice that God hath been glorified. And then he says, in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He asked for something. A blessed man, Christ Jesus. And then as we go down further in the chapter, in verse 21, that they also may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Perhaps one in testimony. Then in verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, one in glory. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, which includes all of redeemed, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. When we think of that day, we think of what's before us, and we realize our weakness here and our feeble testimony here, and how the church has failed in this testimony to the truth that we're one. Oh, what a day. Day that the Lord speaks of, verse 24, speaking to his Father, Father, I will. How interesting it is to think of the will of the Son of God, what he has before him and puts before us. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What lies before the redeemed? What a day of glory, to see his glory and to share it.
The person who is speaking here, Jesus, in the beginning of John, is made known as the Word. In Revelation 19, he takes that name, says his name is called the Word of God. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes and connect some remarkable verses with the chapter we have read. The end of Ecclesiastes. The book that we have in our hands is also the Word of God. We speak of it that way. Our chapter begins these words. Now in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, we'll read a few verses from verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, He still taught the people knowledge. We need that, don't we? Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. These words spake Jesus in our chapter. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. This book we have in our hand is the Word of God, and they are words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And in John, he is the good shepherd. And he is feeding us from that pasture that we need. And down in our chapter, John 17, the Lord, in his prayer to the Father, says this. Verse 8 of our chapter, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." How intimate it is to see him in prayer to the Father, talking about his own and giving us words of truth. May we value this blessed book and learn to know the person who was speaking these words, and the Spirit of God has recorded it for our good.
These words are the very innermost breathings of the Lord Jesus as he lifted up his eyes to heaven and prayed on this occasion. And I think it's helpful as we take up this chapter to see the context in which this chapter is situated. He speaks of an hour here in this first verse where we began. And when we go back to the 13th chapter, we find that he speaks of an hour there again. It was the hour of his return to the Father. It says there, I'll just read it. It says, "When Jesus knew that the hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father." And so as he prepares to go to the cross and offer himself without spot to God, then rise from the dead and ascend back to the Father, having accomplished the work of eternal redemption, he gathers his own around himself. And I think this is very precious to see. To my own soul, it's just as if he says, "I'm going to go away and leave you. I'm not going to be walking with you the way I have been during my public ministry. I'm going to leave you and return to the Father." But he says, "I'm going to make full provision for you in my absence." And so in these chapters that precede the 17th chapter here, we find he makes full provision for them. He brings before them how he's going to take care of them, even though he's going to be a glorified man at God's right hand. He brings before them his eternal love, and how nothing will ever change that love. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He brings before them the truth of foot washing and the refreshment that comes from the practical application of God's word in our lives. He brings before them the joy of obedience to that word. He tells them, too, that he's going to send down the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would be with them and in them, the power for their life so that they could walk for his glory here in this world. He brings before them, too, the truth of abiding in himself and fruit-bearing and the joy that comes from that. All these things were his provision for them in his absence. And then he lifts up his eyes to heaven at the end of it, and he prays here. And brethren, he doesn't just pray for the little company that was around him on that occasion, but he prays for all those who would believe through the preaching of the word. And so, brethren, isn't it wonderful to look up this morning into the open heavens and realize that there's one who not only prayed for his own here in this world on this occasion, but he's praying for his own at the right hand of God every hour of every day. It tells us in Hebrews 8, "And we have such an high priest who is set down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." And so he's there, and we can look up and find our resource in the one who's made full provision for our pathway, and we're linked to him in a wonderful way. He's head over all things to the church, which is his body.
Well, this wonderful portion is calculated to touch our hearts, isn't it? I've often thought of those 11 disciples there, and just as if in this meeting the Lord himself was present, and he stood up and he prayed for us here as an assembled company. Wouldn't every one of our hearts be deeply touched? And wouldn't we listen to every word to know what his desire for us is? Well, that's exactly the privilege, brethren, that we have when we read the 17th of John, because as our brother has said, he was not just praying for those 11 disciples who were there, but he prayed for that, not for them only, but for them which would believe through their word. And so, of course, it doesn't carry us into church truth in this, but it's the introduction, if we might say, to the enjoyment of all that's given to us of God, because we needed to have divine life. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them for their foolishness unto him, for they're spiritually discerned. And so I think this is a very beautiful thought here. And verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now that is, he's given us a life by which we can enter into and enjoy what is in the heart of God. The natural man doesn't have that. He receives not the things of the Spirit of God, but every believer has within him the very life of Christ, a life that is capable of entering into these thoughts that are brought before us here in this chapter. That's what life eternal is. It's not just the fact that it's forever, although of course it is. Even the unsaved will endure forever, but it's not called life, it's eternal death. But how blessed that we have this. And then he's given to us his word. We have that in this chapter. I've given them thy word. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we might know these things that are freely given to us of God. And he's given us the glory. It's not looked on in this chapter as something that we're going to possess in the future, although that in a sense is true. But it says, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, so that we can, here in this world, in a world full of confusion and unrest and so many things that, as the Bible says, men's hearts are failing them for fear, you and I have a life that's suited to heaven, and we can enjoy these heavenly things, and we can walk through the world with all its confusion. And I've often said, I trust it's not repetition. Here is a group of people, as far as this world is concerned, insignificant nobodies. And God has told us all his purposes from before this world was ever made. He's told us what purposes he had. He's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He's gathered us out. He's given us his mind. And we look on what is going on in the world with absolute assurance and certainty. It's not what is going to happen. God has told us, and the future is all as bright as the promises of God, as someone has said. And here we can sit in this simple way, in the mercy and goodness of God, to enjoy these things and to listen, as I say, to the Lord himself praying and praying for us and desiring that we would enter into and enjoy these things. I say that every spiritual blessing belongs to every believer. It's given to us like you might give a jewel box to a person. He looks at one jewel, it's so beautiful, he says, that's enough for me. But he's missing a great deal. The whole jewel box is his. He can enjoy every one that's in the box. And God wants us to know what our portion is in Christ. And brethren, he's given us the capability to know it and to enjoy it.
And as we witness the words of our blessed Lord, one of the characteristics that strikes our attention is the intimacy with which he speaks to the Father and the naturalness with which he addresses the Father. And since we have that divine life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection given us, we have the same precious portion of being able to intimately address God as our Father. In the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, He addressed God in the most intimate terms of Abba, Father. And as has been indicated, the Holy Spirit has been given us to enable us to enjoy the portion that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the precious privileges that we have is that that Spirit indites in us the same blessed term of intimacy, so that we, by the Spirit, say, Abba, Father.